everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Together, we give you a big welcome. Howdy, partner. How's that? A little Southern Arizona goodwill for all of you on July the 13th, Thursday afternoon in 2017. It is the Buckmaster Show. The program airs, originates at AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. And of course, nowadays, you don't need to be in front of a radio. You can be by a computer, and then you can live stream us at buckmastershow.com and, of course, kvoi.com. Then we've got all of our podcasts, including that Ward 3 discussion that we had among the three Democrats, a nice piece by Joe Ferguson on page 2 of the Star today. We have the complete debate. It wasn't really a debate, but discussion, 30 minutes or so at buckmastershow.com. The live line number is 790-2040. You can also check us out on Facebook, and we're at Twitter at buckmastershow.com. We've had a rather interesting discussion going on, a lot of fun over the last couple of days on Facebook. What was your first concert that you can remember? Where was it? Who was the group? Tell us a little bit about it. So that's going on over at Facebook. Let's go now and talk with Steve Kasachek, Democrat, Ward 6, Tucson City Council. Well, what was your first concert, Councilman?
Well, I was thinking about it when you said that.
You grew up in the Michigan area.
Yeah, but it was out here.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking I took my wife to Three Dog Night.
Uh-huh.
It was that era.
Yeah.
We went to a lot of concerts back then down at the TCC when they used to host them down there more often.
Yeah, a lot of our responses were Three Dog Night came in quite a few times, and some really good shows back in the day, Steve, at TCC.
Yeah.
Anyway, in May, voters, they had no problem, Councilman, saying yes to Proposition 101, the roads and public safety measure, raising the city sales tax by a half cent. Well, will they say yes to two other measures expected to be on the November ballot? And this came up during our discussion yesterday with the three Democrats who want a seat at representing Ward 3.
Well, there are a couple. There are actually three that are going to be on the ballot. The two that you spoke about, the third one is one that is it going on the ballot, talking about raises, say pay increases for the mayor and council. That was placed on the ballot by the Citizens Commission that is required by charter every 2 years to bring the question forward. So there are actually three initiatives that right now are going to be headed for the ballot. The two that you talked about, one is called Strong Starts Tucson Tax. It's a half-cent sales tax being proposed, same as what we just asked for with respect to roads and public safety. It is somewhat different, fundamentally different than what we just asked for. Number one, there is no sunset on the Strong Starts Tax. It puts together a 7-member board appointed by the mayor and council to make recommendations about funding for pre-K education, preschool education, and the recommendations would again go back to the mayor and council for approval. Honestly, I have some real problems with this proposal. Number one, it's going to compete with the rediscussion of Prop 301 funding for education at the state level. I think that the Prop 123 that just passed barely was the state abdicating their responsibility for funding education at the local level. This seems to me that we're kind of picking up their luggage and carrying it for them at the local level in terms of funding. But even more than that, there's not a lot of clarity in the way this initiative is written with respect to who qualifies, what are the criteria for passing out the money, what schools qualify. So without the level of clarity that we put into Prop 101, we say in exactly which roads and exactly what public safety equipment is going to be purchased, I think the voters are going to see that as being a pretty tough lift. Kind of scratching their heads saying, yeah, we all support education. We all recognize the value of preschool education in the long haul. What I said to the group when they asked me about it several months ago was that I was also concerned that it was going to be pitting one education group against another, because this is strictly for pre-K funding. So I'm not inclined to support that initiative. It's got a lot of flaws in the way it's drafted and a lot of questions that really need to be answered. I think the voters are going to be scratching their heads also. The other one that you asked the other candidates about is for the zoo. This is a tenth of a penny, tenth of a cent tax increase, sales tax increase, to go to very specific needs out of the zoo, their capital needs, as well as operating capital. This one, I think, is different than the strong start. So this one, I think, is going to get more support, and it has mine. One of the reasons is that the capital needs out at the zoo are very similar to the capital needs, for instance, with respect to the public safety and the roads that we just asked the voters about. These are needs that are not going to go away. There are needs that are well beyond the operating capital that the zoo has. And there are also needs that the zoo is going to have to take care of if they're going to maintain their accreditation. The tenth of a cent is not the half cent that the strong starts people are asking for. And in addition to that, there's a citizens commission right now that's going through and doing an assessment on how the zoo is managed, the whole management structure, and we're going to, at about the same time this vote happens, we're going to be getting recommendations from that commission on how maybe to shift around who manages the zoo, how it's managed and maintained. The reason that's important is right now, if you go out to the zoo, about a third of the people that you see out there are from the Tucson Zoological Society. They're docents. They're volunteers. And so the staffing is already about 33% non-city staff. And secondly, about 40% of the funding for the operations out there already comes from private donors from the Zoological Society. So people look at the zoo as thinking this is just a general fund obligation, that they're just kind of swimming along on its own, and things are fine. They really aren't, because the Zoological Society and the community is already stepping up to the plate to help fund the operations and the management. And this tenth of a penny is important for maintaining our accreditation. The other thing that's key for people to realize about the zoo is that all the revenues that go into that zoo, not all of them, a portion of the revenues that go into that zoo are also earmarked for conservation, international wildlife conservation. That's also key to the zoo's accreditation. So there are a lot of pieces of that one that people that I hope become educated about between now and November, so that they recognize that that tenth of a penny is going for some very, very important capital features that have implications beyond simply what you see when you walk in the gates.
So the other measure, this was the charter group saying that putting this before the council and then onto the ballot, you didn't really have that much say about the pay raises for council and the mayor, correct?
We had zero say. This was a recommendation that came from the Citizens Commission, and by charter, our responsibility of putting it on the ballot was simply ministerial. We're the body who has the charter authority to put something on the ballot. We also have the charter obligation to take the recommendation from the commission and pass it on to the ballot. So it's going to wind up also there in November. I'll get the numbers wrong. It's something that the mayor makes right now, I think, $3,500 a month, and this is to increase him to, I think, $5,700. We make $2,000 a month, and I think this puts us at $3,500. I'm not exactly positive. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head, but it's on the ballot, and it's fine. And quite honestly, you know, I'm not going to dodge it. I think that the positions that we have are fundamentally important to quality. We make important quality of life decisions, and I think that mayor and council members deserve this increase. But it's not something that we were out pounding the pavement and asking this commission to put on the ballot.
All right, let's see if we can work a call in before our first break. Keith, you're with Councilman Kasacek. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Steve. I got to ask the question, have you and the mayor and other city council members discussed the mural down at 191 East Tool Avenue that says make whiteness the other? Have you guys even talked about what you're going to do about that racist piece?
So the mural that Keith is asking about is painted on a piece of private property owned by the Rialto. It was commissioned by the Rialto. The city does not have the jurisdictional authority to go in and tell somebody to take something down off of their private property. Frankly, if they had asked me, and they did not, before they put it up, I would have suggested something more unifying and not divisive than that. I am told that when the artist came to the Rialto initially, they had said that the text was going to be something more unifying, and so the Rialto was also surprised at what wound up on the side of the building. But, Keith, the city does not have the authority to go in and tell somebody that they can't they have to take their art down. Whether we object to it, there is a First Amendment right that people have to post art, and that's called speech. Whether
right.
you like it or not.
All right, we'll take our break right here, 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Councilman Steve Kasacek sticks around 790-2040. If you would like to ask him a question or make a comment, feel free to do so. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Felipe Garcia, the Vice President of Visit Tucson, joins us. The Friday Roundtable features Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic and Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's voice.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, about 12:20 now on a very nice Thursday afternoon. It was great to get some more rain last night, so we've had pretty good rains, at least up at my place, 2 out of the last 3 days. So we're off to a pretty good summer rainy season. Steve Kasachek is with us, Councilman Kasachek representing the 6th Ward in Tucson. He is a Democrat. What about a transit authority in the future of Tucson's public transportation system? I bring this up, Councilman, in the wake of the settlement with SunTrans. There will be no strike. So where do we go from here? That's what I'm getting at.
Okay. First of all, it's great that we were able to avoid the strike. I think that's a credit to all hands on deck who participated in that. That includes TransDev, the management company. It includes the Teamsters, the bargaining unit. And it includes the mayor and council and the city manager. We budgeted this year such that we have a structurally balanced budget. We had some cash in the kitty to bring to the table this time when recognizing that the contract was due. And so when all the parties met at the table, we had allowed for the opportunity to do kind of what I've been calling a Me Too clause. The SunTran workers are not city employees. They can't be. The reason for that is because we take federal dollars to fund our transit system, and the federal government, as a condition of getting those dollars, says that the employees have to have a right to strike. So we hired this third-party independent, this third-party management group. It's TransDev, whose contract is also expiring in a couple of months. And they're the ones who do the negotiating. But we are the ones at the mayor and council level. We're the ones, through our budgeting, who put the chips on the table and say, this is what you've got to work with. So the settlement this time really is, it's a 3-year settlement, not a 1 or a 2-year settlement. That's going to lend stability to the system, which is very important to the ridership. We still have not recovered from the strike from 2 years ago in terms of ridership, and so this will allow people to see that the system is going to be up and running for 3 years without interruption. And during that time, we will be talking about whether or not to continue this same management process. Or do one example is what you just mentioned, a management authority of a different model. The only there's a Metropolitan Transit Authority. That's one idea that's been floated around. I have a couple of issues with it. Number one is that it would require state legislation that does not exist yet for it to be legal for us to do locally. I think maybe a larger issue that I have with it is that what it does is it sets up an independent body to, independent of us, independent of the RTA, an independent body to manage the transit system. And that body would have a taxing authority in order to fund the system. And they could tie revenues to people's property taxes and use those monies to fund the system, to the operations. We already have the RTA collecting a half-cent sales tax. The city has certain restrictions built into our charter in terms of what we can do from a taxation standpoint for property tax, both primary and secondary. I'm not real thrilled with the notion of setting up yet another taxing district that would be independent of us that could go out and levy taxes that would put pressure on our ability to do the same thing. We have to take ours to the voters. And so I would really want to study the mechanics under which this other group would have to go through, or the steps they'd have to go through in order to get approval for those tax increases. So what we have right now is a three-year deal. We are going to go out with a request for proposals for a new management team, and we'll do that here in a couple of months. And we'll have a new management team in place, and there's no barn on fire. We don't have to go and make that decision immediately. And so I think there's wisdom in let's make the right decision and let's just not make a quick decision on that one. So the good news is we have three year stability in the transit system right now, and that's a good thing for the community.
You know, whether or not you believe in climate change, and there still are some doubters, there are some things that the city council can do to make this a better community. Isn't that correct? Kind of bottom line here,
There's something that everybody can do. You know, the city, about 12% of our electric demand right now is satisfied by solar.
Mm-hmm.
We just went through, are finishing up a street lighting project that is going to, by the time it's completed, about 70% reduction in our energy consumption because we're going to LED systems. We're a pilot for the state right now in terms of the Star Community rating system, and we are of a 4-star rating. So we are doing stuff. There's more we can do, of course. But I would argue that there's something that everybody can do. It's how you get around. The way you travel from point A to point B. We just talked about SunTran. Transportation is one of the two most effective ways that you can make an individual impact on the climate. The other one, a study out of New York, just determined it was just have one fewer kid. So that the issue of whole population plays into it also. But on a more retail level. The building envelope that you live in, weatherize your doors. Consider solar. Consider rainwater harvesting. Consider gray water. We offer rebates on all those at the city level. You can buy low flow toilets or water efficient washing machines. We offer rebates on those as well. So, while the answer to your question is yes, there's more that the city can do. There's something that everybody can do. You know, how you travel, what you live in, how much water you spend. The number one cost from the CAP, the Central Arizona Project, to get water to your tap is energy, because they have to pump water up to us, and it takes tens of thousands of horsepower of energy to get the water to your tap. So fix the flapper valve on your toilet, and you're saving hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water every month, which is money and which is also a precious resource in the desert. So I would argue that this is not simply a government cram down. This is something everybody needs to take part in.
And the critics come after the council when they get involved with an issue that has global consequences. People say, why don't you just do this or that or fix the roads or whatever?
Well, we are doing this or that and fixing the roads, and thank you, community, for the 62% approval for that. The client... For the people who want to reject science, they can't reject the fact that we just had the hottest June in record. And right now, if you go online, you can find about ice sheets that are breaking off the Antarctic. You know, there's something's causing that. And whether people want to say it's human caused or not, the reality is it's happening. And there are things that we can do in our own lives that are not cost prohibitive. They're simply lifestyle changes and decisions that we can make that will affect not only the amount of energy that you're using, but the amount of money you're spending out of your disposable income as well. So whether or not that people want to argue about science, there are things that we can do living in a desert to save water and to save energy, and that's just intuitively smart.
Can you give us a quick update on Broadway?
We are right now finishing up the 60%, 90% construction documents. While that's happening, the real estate department is approaching, city real estate department is approaching property owners along that corridor. While they're doing that, they're also approaching Rio Nuevo. The Rio Nuevo district has indicated an interest in creating senses of place and destinations. So Rio Nuevo will come in behind real estate and have discussions with property owners about maybe doing adaptive reuse on some of the buildings along the corridor so they can get preserved and reactivated and not demolished.
It's going to be interesting, Councilman, before I let you go, tomorrow when we talk with Felipe Garcia, who you know very well from Visit Tucson, I'll be interested, and I think our listeners will, and I'm sure you probably will too, what are the latest numbers on Mexican shoppers coming across, and what has President Trump and all this border talk, how has that affected the Mexican shoppers? We're going to find out about that tomorrow.
Felipe's a rock star. He's a guy that, that we rely on a lot to maintain our positive relationships, even in the face of discussions about building border walls. I was disappointed to see yesterday that Congress has earmarked almost $2 billion to get that wall started. Whatever happened to the rhetoric about Mexico is going to build it, and we'll build it 10 feet higher if they object. I mean, so, you know, this fiscally conservative, in air quotes, Congress is now talking about $2 billion of your money to build something that I'm concerned will have a negative effect on our relationships, on our economy, and on the environment.
All right. Councilman Steve Kasachek, thank you very much. I hope you have a great rest of the day.
You too. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek with us on the Buckmaster Show, 12:30. We'll be back with David Levy, the famous comet discoverer, former science editor for Parade Magazine, right after our break. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City hosts a variety of galleries, gift shops, historic buildings, fine dining, and some very quaint homes. This is a great place to visit. There's great accommodations. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. And of course, their signature event is the Clay Festival, everything to do with pottery. And that is coming up, I believe, starting on July 22nd, just around the corner. Let's go now telephonically to Vail, Arizona, and the observatory of Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, very renowned Dr. Levy, the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He is head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization. Of course, he's one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets. Dr. Levy, I presume.
Yes, hello there, Dr. Buckmaster. How are you?
Doing very well. This is a good time of year, isn't it, with the meteor showers? Summer is kind of meteor shower time, isn't it?
Well, last night the only showers we got was 1.7 inches.
Are you kidding? You had almost
2 inches? Almost 2 inches of rain last night.
Whoa.
Only did it come down here in Vail.
Good for you.
And we're looking forward for to be able to either get from here or from our Adirondack Astronomy Retreat. We're looking forward to get the Delta Aquarid meteor shower. So I'm hoping that's going to happen, but we'll see.
How about the Perseids?
That comes about 2 weeks later. Excuse me. That comes about 2 weeks later. And the it turns out to be pretty nice. Both showers will be with not a whole lot of moonlight, excuse me, so we should be doing much better.
I'm going to talk for a few moments while you get something to lubricate your throat. How would that, David Levy, so you can continue on with us here. A little bit of a dry throat there. Is it better?
Yeah, it's better.
Well, much better. Are you preparing for your trip to Ireland?
Yes, we are, because every year we have the International Space University. This will be the third year that I've participated in it. 2 years ago in Ohio, last year in Haifa, Israel, and in early August, I will be in Cork, Ireland, to talk with these people that actually study the space program that has happened over the many years. And it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that very much, and I'm looking forward to talking with you about it when I get back. And then after that, of course, is the eclipse of the sun on August 21st.
This is the big event, the total eclipse of the sun. This is going to be the biggest the path of totality is going to be fairly large, correct?
Oh, it's going to be. Not so much. You have to head into the path itself if you want to see a total eclipse. So we are going to go to Madras, Oregon, where we will see about a 2-minute total eclipse from there.
Is that unusually long? And I know probably you have seen more and experienced more total eclipses of the sun than probably just about anybody. I mean, is 2 minutes pretty standard?
2 minutes is about average. My shortest was 30 seconds in 2005 from the Pacific, and the longest was a little over 6 minutes. Mexico in 1991.
Whoa, 6 minutes. All the birds and the animals must have thought it was time to go to sleep.
Oh, yeah, they all got out and said, well, let's all take a nap together.
Oh, my goodness.
Something else.
Yeah, so 6 minutes would be, I guess, kind of the outside limit, wouldn't
it? That is pretty close. I think you can get, theoretically, about 6.5 minutes.
Wow.
Totality, if everything is just right.
I want to move on to our quote of the month with Dr. David Levy, because this is a little bit expanded edition of the quote.
Yeah, it goes back to 1962, Bill. I used to have a real temper when I was a kid.
Real angry?
Real angry, and I'll tell you about this. When I was writing my first major book, an Encyclopedia of the Universe, and I was writing about orbital motions of double stars, and I wrote that over 100 years is needed to watch some of the binary stars change their positions in their orbits. And I got about halfway down the page when the typewriter started acting up. And I ripped the page out of the typewriter and took the typewriter and slammed it into a tree.
Oh, my goodness.
And over and over and over again.
Whoa.
And about three months later, I went to the Jewish National Home for Asthmatic Children in Denver. Dad wrote me a letter while I was there, and he said, David, whatever did you do to your typewriter? It cost me $50 to fix it. And I said, well, by mistake, I dropped it.
You know? Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, while I was doing this with the typewriter, you know, I had my tantrum. I got back home. And the next day, not to give up, I said, Mom, can I borrow your typewriter? And she said, sure. What's wrong with yours? I said, well, I dropped it. Anyway, I went back, put the page back in, and continued typing the page. And I now have both parts of those page. The reason this connects to the quote of the month is that about 10 years later, while graduating from Acadia, my brother gave me a beautiful poster of a tall tree with the following quote on it, which is what I want to use right now, that kind of tells a little bit about what I'm all about. It's from Henry David Thoreau. He wrote this circa 1845. If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. That's kind of me in many ways.
Very nice. Yeah. I hear the tolling of the bell, which always indicates we're running very close to being out of time. But that was very nice. May I expand just a little bit, David, about your little bit of an anger issue? What was going on with you that caused some of that?
Well, as I've gotten older, I still have my temper, Bill, but I like to hope that I've learned to control it a little bit better. But every now and then, Wendy points a finger at me and said, David, watch yourself. So I still need to be careful with it.
And there really aren't any typewriters to throw anymore.
Oh, but they're computers, Bill. Computers, laptops. But I don't do that with this laptop because the one I have right now, I just adore. I think it's a wonderful machine.
Okay, before I let you go, any night sky other than meteor showers that we can look for, any constellations that look exceptionally bright this time of year if we don't get summer, cloud cover?
The summer triangle, Vega, Deneb, and Altair. Vega's in Lyra. Deneb is in Cygnus, the swan, and Altair is in the eagle, the American constellation. And those are very easy to see. It's high in the sky now when night starts, and it just gets higher, and so that around late in the night it's almost overhead. One of the things that I can say about that is that I found independently a nova, an exploding star, in the summer triangle in 1975, August 1975. It was called Nova Cygni, 1975.
Hmm. Very interesting. David, we will let you go, and we want to wish you very safe travels to you.
Well,
as you...
thank you, and I'm looking forward to talking with you next month.
Yes, I think we've already got our appointment booked, so we will see you in August. Thank you very much.
Okay, and watch your computers.
Yeah, David's on the move. Watch out. Dr. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 1244 here on our Thursday edition. And again, tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, Felipe Garcia will talk about the Mexican shopper and how important that shopper is to Tucson.
You've been waiting, and it's finally here. Sun Valley Rides is back at the Food City parking lot here in Sierra Vista this Thursday through Sunday. Ride all your favorite rides. Caramel apples, cotton candy, and corn dogs, too. The carnival opens Thursday and Friday at 5 p.m., Saturday and Sunday at noon. Fun rides, teddy bears, funnel cakes. Ah, what more could you ask for? And remember, all armbands are just $8 per person each day of the carnival. Sun Valley Rides in the Food City parking lot. We'll see you there.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. All the information about the workshop that's coming up from 1 to 3 tomorrow afternoon about drip irrigation. Green Things, located just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're at 3384 East River Road, one of our fine sponsors. Everything to do with gardening on 13 really beautiful acres that Jan and Jack, the owners, have taken and really made that into a beautiful spot along the Rieto River. Matt Hines is with us, Dr. Matt Hines, a hospitalist by trade. Dr. Hines is in the Democratic run for CD2. Dr. Hines, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
So how did all of this come about? This is kind of my first opportunity to share with my listeners about why you decided to again run against Martha McSally.
Sure. No, and I was telling you before, mm-hmm. this is not something that I was expecting to do. I didn't set out at the beginning of the year thinking, you know, doing this would be really where I was going to be spending a lot of my time. I'm just focusing on my work with patients in the hospital, and day after day, night shift, day shift, afternoon shift, every third patient was bringing up current events. And
you'd walk into the room and say,
yeah.
Hello, I'm Dr. Hines. What can I do for you? What is your issue?
Right.
How can we take care of this? And what happened?
Oh, you're that doctor from TV. What do you think about this Trump tweet? Or what do you think about what's going on? And they wanted to talk, they didn't want to talk about vomiting blood or having a stroke or having a heart attack. So they kept changing the. And of course, I would never bring up politics in that environment, because we treat everyone, and I don't care if you're registered to vote or vote at all. But no, I was really stunned to see how much engagement and really how activated people were, and also my colleagues. And some of them, as you may know, physicians, surgeons especially, tend not to be particularly leftward leaning, I'll say. But a lot of my colleagues from all stripes really saying, you know, we need people who can really carry the voice of our patients and of the professional community on healthcare and other subjects. So you should really do this. And so after 6 or 7 months of this, I said, you know what, I need to start listening to my patients in this regard, not just in terms of their health problems. And so that's why I decided to make this jump.
And public policy did some polling. Overall, what did some of those numbers show?
Sure. And, it unlike last time, when obviously I did not win, the climate has changed considerably. Martha McSally is tremendously unpopular. Her approval rating is 40%, which is pretty low, and her disapproval is 53%. And I'm ahead of her currently in a head-to-head matchup, 48%-44%, which is a very different, just outside the margin of error. So those are really great numbers. And of course, I haven't run a single advertisement for 7 months. So that's organic, you know, that's the way things are moving. And I think it's really important to be present and pay attention to these data.
Of course, that would be head to head with Martha McSally. But first, you've got to get by what is appearing to be a crowded field. I try to keep as much of an eye on all of this as possible.
It's difficult for us too.
Who is in, who's not? I've kind of come to the conclusion it's 5 or 6 maybe.
That's right.
Candidates. There may, I understand, a couple of dozen folks mm-hmm. have kind of taken a look at it.
Right.
You have a former congresswoman who's thinking real seriously about
sure.
it, an exploratory
right.
committee, and that would be Ann Kirkpatrick.
Right, we're attracting people from 300 miles away, even. It's impressive.
So what do you make of it? How are you going to separate yourself from the pack? And of course, you will have to win a primary to go on to for the rematch.
Sure. Yeah. No. First things first. Right. We have to get take care of the primary. And I am really pleased by being nominated. Of course, last time I was the Democratic nominee the last go around. That of course means that more of the Democratic base and more of the Democratic voters are familiar with me, and that's extremely
helpful.
Name recognition,
presumably. You have some name recognition.
Exactly. The polling shows yeah. 2/3 of the folks likely to vote in the primary already are familiar with me. That's great. And, a lot of people are familiar with some of the other candidates too. But in the very early polling in terms of the Democratic primary voters, I'm ahead of the closest person by double digits. And I'm not assuming anything because it's a long way away. This is going to be a lot of work. And you have to really win the hearts and minds of the voters. And I'm doing that one person at a time, talking to our Democratic Precinct Committee folks, local elected officials, many of whom are endorsing me. So I'm really proud to be building this from the ground up, from that grassroots kind of approach, not the top-down approach.
Do you think Martha McSally is backing away a little bit from President Trump? And I point to Exhibit A in front of me, her op-ed today, the headline, "Why I Broke with My Party on Capping Malpractice Damages."
And I think that when you have when you have numbers like she does that are so low, especially after she voted for that terrible health bill in the House, most Trump supporters actually don't favor the AHCA or the BRC, whichever acronym. So I think that she's doing what she can to distract from the fact that she is on record voting, for example, to crush internet privacy protections that they were put into place by the Obama administration so that Cox and Comcast can't follow where you point your browser and sell that information to the highest bidder. She thinks they should be able to do that. That's not Southern Arizona values, and neither is taking away health care from 23 million Americans, including over 50,000 right here just in the 2nd Congressional District.
So clearly health care is the linchpin here. This is the big issue.
She made it – frankly, the entire administration made this a much bigger issue than it may have been otherwise, trying to undo the Affordable Care Act, which has problems. I was asked by the administration in 2013 to assist with the implementation. I did what I could.
Didn't you go back to D.C.?
I did for 2 years. And I didn't write the bill. I didn't vote for the bill because I wasn't, of course, in Congress. But when asked, hey, can you help us make this work better for patients in your community? Obviously, well, when the president calls, I think generally you should probably agree if you can do it. So I did that for 2 years and learned a lot more about how it works. And I think that really puts me in a position to help change things and make it better, to help reduce the premiums, increase competition in the marketplaces, and keep the Medicaid expansion there. Jan Brewer, wasn't she a co-chair for the Trump campaign here in Arizona?
I believe so.
I think she was. She was an official of her campaign. She came out and said that she was opposed to the AHCA that Martha McSally voted for because she, of course, as you remember, when she was governor, she actually she rolled the speaker, she rolled the president of the Senate. The Republicans at that time worked and got a Democratic budget approved that expanded Medicaid for patients and families in Arizona and Southern Arizona. So Brewer is actually on the record as saying this is a horrible health care bill and we should not approve it.
Dr. Matt Hines is with us, congressional candidate in the 2nd Congressional District of Arizona. Dr. Hines, of course, a Democrat, and he's hoping for another challenge at Congresswoman Martha McSally in the fall. But first, he must get by a primary that is, whenever you have five or six candidates, I call it crowded. I've seen worse, though. I've seen worse where there have been like 10 or 12 candidates.
My first was seven people, yeah.
I had to moderate a couple of those debates on TV.
Wow.
Where each candidate, you will be given 2 minutes. That's it for the hour, right? So anyway, it looks like there's a huge struggle. Congress is really trying to figure out what to do about health care. And it could very well be that nothing will come out of this.
That's right.
I mean, then what?
Well, look, as I said, I acknowledge that the Affordable Care Act is helping many millions of people, but we need to stabilize those insurance marketplaces to keep that competition active and to keep those premiums low for families to afford. If not, that does start to fall apart. And I think it's so cynical for so many people like Martha McSally, like Donald Trump, to hope that the insurance marketplaces fail. They hope it collapses to make a political point. And what I do every day in the hospital is I try to pick up those pieces. When people can't afford healthcare, they come and get it. It's too late. It's too expensive. They're in the ER. Their leg is rotting off full of infection. They didn't even know they were diabetic or that they could have had insulin and prevented that.
But they've been diabetic for many,
for many years.
For many
years, never diagnosed. Right.
The worst has come.
Absolutely. And so prevention is key in getting people access to this. And it is truly, in my opinion, it is a basic right.
And do you have some people who say they hadn't had a blood test in years?
Yeah.
They could have discovered the diabetes.
And, Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we have, like, so Tucson Medical Center, we see folks from Sierra Vista, from Bisbee, Douglas, everywhere, and people will come in from all over the district and say, oh, well, I don't have health insurance. I can't see. I haven't seen a doctor in 30 years, 20 years.
You're kidding.
These are 50, 60-year-old people, and it is causing people to die younger and to become less productive and unable to work or take care of their families. And so that's this really comes about. It's not just health care. It connects to education. It connects to having and keeping a job and being able to work and support your family. So it's truly connects to everything.
All right, Dr. Matt Hines in the CD2 race. Good to see you again,
you
Dr.
as well.
Hines. And what have you put up a website yet?
Absolutely. Okay. HinesForArizona.com. There's a minute-long video there where it talks about why I'm announcing and why I did this and why I'm doing this again, and hope that folks will take a look. And it's HinesForArizona.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up this afternoon, a mic check with Mike Shaw, one of our local talk shows. Ray Allen helps Mike, and the two of them put together a great hour. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster. Back with you, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. We're going to talk about a deep dive into this whole situation with the border and what is the situation with Mexican shoppers. Are they avoiding Tucson? I hope not. We'll find out from Felipe Garcia of Visit Tucson. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.